Omgyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the Bhakti Lok. I like to give a summary just to put in context in case there are people haven't been here before, but Bhakti Lok is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on the second and third verses of the Upadeshamrita. And why did he pick the second and third verses? Because it's such a significant subject matter. It's such a significant subject matter. It's so relevant because the second verse is the six faults that destroy bhakti. And the third verse is the six qualities that enhance bhakti. So it just seems extremely prominent. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur commented that he said that it's really most important to consider this verse if you want to follow pure devotional service. You especially have to follow these qualities. And if you neglect them, then bhakti becomes very, very rare. Especially these six qualities, if you neglect them, because they destroy bhakti. So therefore, he wanted to elaborate the meaning for those people, if you have actually a strong desire to advance in devotional service. So he mentions these six qualities, and we already discussed the first two. Atyahara. Too much. You collect too much. And prayas. You endeavor for mundane things. So these were discussed elaborately. And now the third one is prajalpa. Talking too much. Not talking too much, but talking about the wrong things too much. There's always this dichotomy in bhakti, a very kind of simple dichotomy between objectives, where your life comes from, where your talk comes from, where your actions come from, where your collecting comes from, where your endeavor collect comes from. Is the endeavor on the voice of the false ego, which says, I am the enjoyer and I am the controller? Or are your activities, your talk, your collect, is it coming from the voice of the soul? I want to serve Krishna. Or at least the voice of the intelligence that says it is good to serve Krishna. And, you know, bhakti means you have to have jnana and vairagya. You don't have jnana, you won't know what to do. And if you don't have vairagya, you won't have the discipline to do it. So these two things are very, very important. And I love Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mind, how he really makes these things clear. Now, what's going to go through the whole Bhakti Lok is this kind of understanding through the whole Bhakti Lok that, again, bhakti, I make this, is not renunciation. Because even though the mind is material, it can parallel the soul. The soul is consciousness, which reaches its fruition in service. So if the mind is geared to that, you don't have to negate the mind. So bhakti is very different from the goal of yoga, which is yoga chitta vritti nirodha, to eradicate the fluctuations of the mind. And bhakti is eradicate the fluctuations of the mind that are not connected to the soul. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to be really, really like clear on this point throughout the whole Bhakti Loka. Because he has to do two things. One, he has to curb our materialistic tendencies. I always use the term that the false ego is insidious and it appropriates everything for enjoyment, even good things, for ego, superiority, humility. I am more humble. I am the most humble. Anything. Or see, I'm the most religious. I'm the most this. I'm the most. So that insidious voice that destroys bhakti. But he also wants to make sure that you don't, understanding that these things have to get, you have to get rid of these things, not making the misconceptions of giving up those things which can be used in Krishna's service, even your desires. So these distinctions will be made. And this one is really, because there's a point that's made here, no, it's made in another commentary, but it's worth, prajalpa ultimately leads to offense. It ultimately leads to criticizing devotees. That's just the way it is, because we have such a tendency to criticize people. There's an enjoyment in our heart. It's just intertwined with the whole material condition of superiority. So even if you're a devotee, and even if you're this, and even, you know, you have so many things, but there's always that voice, that the conditioned voice that gets pleasure if it gains position in the world. And one way to get position in the world is for others to go down. And therefore the tendency is to criticize. And even sometimes there are things that are very, very annoying. But somehow or other, you know, it's really where it comes from. Even people say, oh, you can't criticize, what about? Yeah, you can correct people. Of course you can correct people. But where does it come from? And there's such a difference of things that are born of envy and things that are born of love, things that are born of the soul, things that are born of the material mind, things that are born of the intelligence, things that are born of the material mind. There's such a difference. So he's going to discuss these things. Talking with one another is called jalpana or prajalpa. Hey, what's wrong with that? Nowadays, in this world, godlessness is so prominent that conversing with others means godless talk. So he's going to make this distinction that there's really going to be a spiritual tendency just to give it all up. Because in this world, it's just generally 90% useless. Therefore, it is not profitable for a practicing devotee to engage in jalpana. Because usually it's godless. It's not connected to the soul. I mean, one time, this is kind of, I hope maybe it's a humorous story. I don't know. You'll have to decide if it's humorous or not. But I had one godbrother, and he memorized Krishna book. And he was always reciting Krishna book. So there was the time of what we call the zonal acharyas, where people got carried away with their position. As on this principle of yukta vairagya, you know, engage things you can use in Krishna's service, not realizing that many of the things they do was just a trick of Maya. It wasn't Krishna's service. It was their own enjoyment who had the excuse of Krishna's service. So they went to this fancy restaurant. It's not so fancy now, but before it was the LMB. LNB, Lakshmi Narayan Bandir in Jaipur. Jaipur is famous for its cooking. So they went there. I remember I took my parents there when they went to Jaipur. And, you know, I love that when the whole plate lights on fire. You know, they give you a preparation, they turn up, the whole plate lights on fire. It was, those were the days in India where things were cheap. I'm just now meditating, very sweet, of my parents in Jaipur. And they had a time of their life that they could not even imagine. The Rambagh, the most exclusive hotel, it was peanuts then. But, you know, sitting out in the lawn of this King's Hotel, I mean, the huge bedrooms made out of the old palace, and sitting out on the lawn, it goes on for, you know, the back lawn faces for acres of beautiful gardens, and musicians coming to our table and serenading my parents. And I'm going to really get off now. I had this one friend. Name is Nisringa Maharaj. Name used to be Jagat Guru. So, you know, I was like a brahmachari and, like, you know, taking my parents to enjoy in Mumbai wasn't my thing. So he helped me with my parents. So he said, we were out on town or something. He said, I'll take him to a restaurant. So it's this restaurant on the top of a building that rotates around. It rotates the whole restaurant. As you see the whole Bombay, the whole restaurant. And it was nothing. My parents were saying, we pay hundreds of dollars. So going to this restaurant, he said, I'll find a restaurant. So he goes back, I got a great place to go. And I said, Maharaj, is this completely vegetarian? He said, they serve vegetarian options, right? I said, Maharaj, how can we do that? My mother grabs Nisringa Maharaj's arm and walks away and says, why can't you be like Maharaj? And they were amazed. We went on top of the restaurant. Anyway, getting back to, I have an audience here, so my humor may come out more. But getting back to this restaurant. So they went into this fancy restaurant. You know, what do sannyasis have to go into this fancy restaurant to order the best things? Yukta Vairagya, balance. So they brought this other monk who was like, and as they're sitting down, he's just reciting Krishna book. He memorized the whole thing, word for word. And finally, one of them got it, said, can you be quiet so we can enjoy? So that's not two types of talk. There can be many kinds of jhopan in the cultivation of devotional service. They are all auspicious for the devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami has written in his Karpanya Panchika Stotra, and it's quoted here, then devotees recite the purport of this verse in the following words. While chanting the holy name of the Lord, if a wretched person in his lifetime achieves namabhas, or a glimpse of offenseless chanting, then all his faults are destroyed and their lordships become pleased with him. So he's saying, you know, you want to give up all talks, because you can chant the holy name in the proper way. Even if you're wretched, if you just get a glimpse of this, then God is pleased and all your faults are destroyed. So why give this up? Kirtan, offering prayers and reciting scriptures, are all jhalpana. When they are performed with a favorable mood and devoid of material desire, they are all cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So, the point wants to be made because there's, in a Bhaktivinoda Thakur 500 years ago, Bengal, etc., there's such an impersonalist twist on things. So he's going to maybe speak more of these things than us, who, with all our disqualification, it's like teaching someone violin. It's better if they haven't learned before. We didn't know anything. So Prabhupada can mold us. To us, impersonalism is so, you know, distant on a philosophical thing. This is not what we're about. But the influence was there, so he's going to speak about there. Therefore, the conclusion is this. All Prajapanas that are unfavorable to Krishna's service are adverse to devotional service. So that's the thing. That's the judgment. Dharma means savai pumso paro dharmo yato bhaktir adoksaje hoitaki apatiyata yatma supersediti. Dharma is what brings you closer to God. Most traditional dharmas do, but it's not the absolute ruling. Where if you're a jnani, it's the absolute ruling, these rules. What brings us closer to Krishna, that's what dharma is. So we give up those things which have no use to Krishna's service. And if we give up those things that have use to Krishna's service, we will start seeing the world as separate from God, which is Maya. That's exactly what illusion is, when you see the world as separate from God. The practitioner should carefully give up prajalpa. There is no fault in the activities of the Mahajan. So he's preaching this. Our great saints said this. To us, it says, of course, but people have to hear this. The Mahajans have respectfully engaged in prajalpa, favorable to devotional service, and this is our only duty. It's not only that we do it, it's the main thing we do. Sometimes, puffed up devotees advise that all types of prajalpa should be given up. Evidently, it enters into the devotee community, a contamination of gan. And I've seen this. I've seen people who are very renounced but have no bhakti. Bhakti parashanu bhavo varaktir says that in bhakti, just as when you eat, three things go up simultaneously. Your enjoyment for the food, your general level of satisfaction, there's no pain. And your enjoyment, your satisfaction, and your freedom from hunger. So in the same way, realization of God, detachment, and bhakti. Bhakti and detachment, they go up equally. If the attachment is going up and the bhakti is not going up, you're being contaminated by impersonalism. If the bhakti is going up and your detachment is not going up, you're being contaminated by sahajism. So bhakti and devotion, they go up at the same time. So if you, and therefore there's a danger of when you give up things that can be used in Krishna's service that you're being contaminated by gyan, impersonalism. But we are followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. Being followers of Rupa Goswami, we will always stick to the path shown by the sadhus who are following his instructions. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is quoted from the Skanda Purana, it is said, Samigya Shreyasam Hetu Panta Santapa Varjita. One should strictly follow the easy path that the previous Mahajans have accepted. That path bestows great auspiciousness and is devoid of all misery. So we should follow the easy path. But the easy path means it's simple. It means it's not complicated, but it may be hard to do. If the easy path is admitting you're wrong, saying you're sorry, begging forgiveness, showing respect to everyone, bowing down. It's the easy path. It's not complicated. Just because it's easy, it doesn't mean that it's not difficult. It's easy and complicated. It's complicated and easy. Other paths are complicated. But bhakti is an easy path. But it's difficult to do because it deals with the heart, the ego, bowing down, paying your obeisances. Our Mahajan's path is that which was shown by Srila Vyasadeva, Shukadev Goswami, Prahlad Maharaj, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. We are not to leave aside that path to follow the instructions of new puffed up devotees. So I guess the new puffed up devotees are these devotees that take to renunciation rather than, you know, contaminated by gyan and then become very, very proud that we're so austere. We follow a codicil. All the Mahajans have respected that prajalpa, which nourishes devotion to Hari, have respected that talk. We'll discuss this in the appropriate place. Godless prajalpas are impediments to devotional service. There are many types. Useless talks. Arguments, gossip, debates, fault-finding in others, speaking falsehood, blasphemy, devotees, and worldly talk are all called prajalpa. Useless talk is extremely detrimental. Practicing devotees should discuss topics of Lord Hari and the association of other devotees. And remember Hari's name, form, qualities, and pastimes in a secluded place without uselessly wasting time. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.8.9, it is said, and this is going to be what devotees do and why. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajanti mam Buddha Bhava Samanvita Machita Makita Prana Bodhyanta Parasparam Kantiyas Katiyantash Chamam Nityam Chushyanti Charamanti. I am the source of all spiritual material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Also in the Gita, it says, Satatam kirtiyanto mam yatantas cha jidha brata namasyantas chamam bhoktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me. These great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is doing is he's showing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is showing that that giving up prajalpa does not mean always giving up talking if the talking is about Krishna. In fact, Garuda Prabhu, when he was studying at Harvard, I heard him tell this story once, that a distinguished professor was going to speak on something about the Vedas, and he said there's no example of a Vaishnav community anywhere in the ancient texts, if you go back. So Gurudev is thinking, this guy is like, you know, very respected. I just can't get up and do the Hare Krishna and just take him by his ear and throw him out for blasphemy. I got to be a little more subtle like that. Gurudev is very smart, so he said, how will you explain the verse, Machita Makita Prana Bodhiyantas Parasparam, that my devotees converse with one another? Doesn't that seem like some type of society where people are engaged in bhakti? So he was successful. In this way, the practicing devotees should cultivate unalloyed devotion. They spend their days and night uselessly talking with materialists, then the Lord's instructions, always chant my glories, will not be followed. In newspaper, there is so much useless talk. For the practicing devotee, to read newspapers is a great loss. What to speak of Facebook and Instagram? That was my own commentary. But if there are topics about pure devotees described in the newspapers, then that can be read. So we can read dandavat.com and ISKCON News. After finishing their meals, mundane people normally smoke and engage in useless talk with other godless people. It's certainly difficult for them to become followers of Rupa Goswami. Reading novels is the same. But if one gets a novel with a story like that of Paranjan in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then reading that is not an impediment, rather it's beneficial. Argument is a pajalpa that is adverse to devotional service. All the arguments, anyway, in the Narada Bhakti Sutra, it says that Vaishnavas don't engage in argument, because mostly argument is just false ego. Because if someone has more knowledge than you, that's a type of control. And we will never receive that in our psychological condition to be superior, the enjoyer and controller. So it's so funny, even devotees, you know, they're learned and everything, tell them they're wrong and they fight tooth and nail. It's so hard to say, yeah, I guess you're right. And even most times, it's better just to admit you're wrong or that you made a mistake, even if you have a justification for it. Just because you just don't want to get involved in useless talk and argument. So if all possible, you just sign up. Like, you know, Rupa Goswami, someone said, I'll come to him, I want to argue with her. He said, here, you've defeated me. He just signed something for them. It's real. I love reading Shastra because it stays in my mind, and then I try to live by it. You know, because it's always a struggle, because we've been here since time immemorial with so much impediments. They do not yield any. So, all the arguments of the followers of Nyaya and Visheshika are simply godless quarrels. They do not yield any result other than wasting the mind's strength and increasing one's restlessness. In the Vedic Upanishads, it is said, Naisha Tarkena Matir Upaneya. This intelligence cannot be obtained by argument. The living entity's proper direction, discretion, is eternally established in his natural intelligence. That discretion naturally flows towards the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. But by arguing about directions, places, mistakes, and illusion, the heart becomes tough. Then natural discretion no longer remains. By accepting the Vedic Dashamula instructions and arguing accordingly, one mind does not become wicked. So there is argument. Siddhanta. We argue according to defend our Siddhanta. what is good, what is bad, when such deliberations are based on the Vedas, that's no longer prajalpa. That is why in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 25.153, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the instruction, Atta Eva Bhagavata Karaha Vachar, study Srimad Bhagavatam very scrutinizingly. Where is that from? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Discussion to establish the knowledge of one's relationship with the Lord and not Pajalpa. Those who conquer the assembly by useless arguments do not reach any conclusion. Therefore, it is certainly one's duty to give up such logicians' association. This is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 12.183, by Sri Vasudev Sarvabhauma, who said, Tarika Shringala Shange, Bhu Bhu Kari Semuke Ebe Shada Kari Krishna Kari. In the association of the jackals known as logicians, I simply continue to bark a resounding boo boo. Now from the same mouth I am chanting the holy names of Krishna Hari. So he was the greatest logician. He brought Navanyaya, he memorized it in Varanasi and brought it to okay, one more paragraph. Those who are accustomed to discuss spiritual matters should remember the words of the Varanasi Sannyasi as found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 25.43. Paramharta Vichar Gela Kari Matya Vad Kohan Mukti Pava Kohan Krishnara Prasad. The atheists headed by the Mayavadi philosophers do not care for liberation or Krishna's mercy. They simply continue to put forward false arguments and counter theories to atheistic philosophy, not considering or engaging in spiritual matters. The term is used vada. Vada is discussion where the objective is the truth, not to win. Useless arguments arise from envy or pride, aversion or attachments, the sense gratification of foolishness or self-pride. Quarrelsome people also become intoxicated by useless arguments. While discussing topics of the Lord and his devotees, the practicing devotee should always be careful to avoid useless arguments. Facebook. Useless arguments. To get on one of those threads, you have to be insane, practically. What a waste of time. Argue. Of course, some people have to defend occasionally, but they go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Okay, so for today, because I'm in Colombia, this is what I can give for the class. Are there anybody who would like to say hello? Because I don't even know if it really got through 100%. Can someone say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Priya.
Priya, thank you so much for listening. Wonderful. Good. A lot of important instructions today. Thank you. Anybody else? Over
Hare Krishna, years old?
Okay, Brajarade. Okay. Anybody not from New Jersey wants to be enlightened? Okay, anybody else from New Jersey who's interested in Krishna consciousness? Some people try, but they can't unmute phones. You don't have to unmute phone. I never muted it in the first place. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, well then for today, thank you. Vanchakopa to Vishnu.